What did the sushi roll say to the bumblebee? Wasabi! Get it? Wasabi? Hello, everybody, and welcome to Starting Sustainability. This is episode 140. I am your host, Kaylin Chenoweth. As usual, life just keeps getting away from me, and here it is, Saturday, right before Easter, and I'm supposed to publish this episode in 2 days. Normally, I have this recorded and edited by now, and I'm just now getting around to the recording part. I'm taking advantage of 2 out of 3 kids napping at the same time, so we're gonna go fast. First, we're going to catch up because a lot has been going on the last couple of weeks. Last episode, I mentioned that we were going to go see Cody Johnson. At this point in time, 2 weekends ago, we did get to go see Cody Johnson to celebrate Channing's birthday. His birthday was February 14th, but this was his gift, was tickets to go see his favorite musician. Cody Johnson is a Texas country artist who's really starting to blow up big on the radio. He's been around for a while, but now he is touring outside of Texas. And since he came to Illinois, we made a special trip over to go see him. I've said it before many, many times, to gift experiences over material items, totally worth it. That was a celebration we will never forget. That night made Channing so happy, which in turn made me really happy, and we were able to get my nephew and his girlfriend, so Craig and Julia, to watch our kids overnight for the first time, as in their first time ever watching our kids, and it was for an overnight babysit, which was very brave of them. And of course, the trade-off is that Channing will do some electrical work for them at their new house. The good news is the kids did very well, which is great because that's a relief for us as parents. We don't want our kids to be little buttheads to other people. They were great all the way up until it was time for the sitters to leave, and we couldn't find Julia's phone everywhere. We were looking all over the house, and unfortunately, she had it on vibrate, so calling it was not at all helpful. I bet I called it 42 times. We were searching and searching and finally asked the kids if they knew where the phone was. And Corbin goes, "Oh, this one right here underneath the couch," and walks right over to the couch, bends down, grabs the purple phone that was underneath of it and pulls it right out and gives it to us with this big cheesy grin. He did it. He did it on purpose, that little punk. He did get in trouble for that stunt. Almost were able to end on a good note. Almost. I guess they had just behaved for so long they just couldn't take it anymore and had to pull a fancy little stunt like that. Also, 2 weekends ago here in Indiana, it hit 70 degrees for the first time since, I don't know, probably October. So we went to the park, we went out and about, and we had a great time. We were driving around the place and we thought, man, it's getting pretty warm in this van. Let's turn on the AC. Guess what? The AC doesn't work. Because we test drove this van back in November, and it was cold, and we never really tested the AC, because it was freaking winter at that point. So, we were both very angry to find out that the air conditioning does not work, and we are so ready to get rid of this van. I know I've been talking about getting rid of this van for a while. It has behaved for a very long time, the longest it's behaved since our ownership. At this moment, we are hanging on to it because we are just trying to figure out finances and what the next vehicle will be and what is the smartest move for our family. So we are taking our time to make sure that we don't rush into another crappy vehicle that lets us down repeatedly. Next on the agenda, I have a note here to give you a chicken update. So I shared a while ago that Creme Brulee was going through a molt, that she has lost a lot of feathers on her back. So I thought she was going to be molting, but she hasn't really lost any feathers anywhere else. And molting is most common in the fall, but hey, you know, our chickens are pretty uncommon, and they tend to stop laying their eggs during a molt, and our chickens are still laying eggs. So we had to do some research. Channing hopped online to look it up, and we feared it might be mites. Basically, mites are like lice, but on chickens, and there's all these different types of mites that can be harmful to your chickens, and after reading a few articles and examining the chickens, it doesn't appear to be mites. We continued looking online and figured out that it was the rooster, Gallo de Cielo, has a thing for blondes and is mounting her. Clearly, he favors her and does her so much, he is ripping out her back feathers. Also, you can buy a chicken saddle, also known as a chicken apron, for them to wear to act as a shield and protect their back feathers to allow them to grow back. So now we're looking into either a chicken saddle or more hens to give Gaio something or someone else to do and give poor Creme Brulee a break. In the last episode, I told you how I burnt myself making chocolate syrup. It's 2 weeks later and the wound is healing up very nicely, leaving a shiny little scar in its spot. My niece Emily informed me there is a self-stirring gadget and that my sister Dawn owns one. That is now on my gift list. Next time someone needs to buy me a gift, that is what I want. In the last 2 weeks, I have needed a self-stirring device 3 times. Chocolate syrup and pudding and something else, I don't remember, but you had to stir the pot continuously, and to stand there and stir it with 3 other kids running around is very challenging. So if I had a self-stirring gadget, I could just turn it on and walk away and come back in 10 minutes, which I think is phenomenal. So thank you, whoever invented that. Okay, and the last major update to catch everybody up on is that this weekend is Easter. I was delayed in recording this episode, but then it actually works out in my favor because now I can talk about how our science experiment has gone dyeing our Easter eggs. I bought beets, cabbage, and turmeric. Turmeric or turmeric, I'm not really sure, but it's the yellow powder spice. And I have now spent all morning dyeing Easter eggs. First, we had to hard boil the eggs and cool them down. Check, got them ready. Then I had to boil 3 different pots of water, 4 cups of water each, plus 4 tablespoons of vinegar each. And then I chopped up some beets, put them in one pot, chopped up some red cabbage, put it in the second pot, got 4 tablespoons of turmeric, and put it in the third pot, let them boil. Instantly, once you put the beets and the cabbage in their pots, instantly you can start seeing the dyes leach out from the vegetables, so that was pretty cool. Unfortunately, because of the vinegar, it was very fragrant. Between vinegar, beets, and cabbage, our kitchen had a new smell going on. If you do this at home, if you do this next year for Easter, I highly recommend a couple of things. One, turn the vent on right away so your whole house doesn't reek of cabbage, beets, and vinegar. And 2, find some old towels to lay down. Even though they are natural dyes, a little bit of a mess was made. It did, for the most part, come clean. Everything came up except for the turmeric. There were yellow splashes on my counter that have stayed there. According to the internet and friends, in a couple of days, that'll wash away. Like, it'll take a couple of days, but it will eventually come out. So I'm not too worried about it. Much better than the real, or not real, I guess the artificial dye kits that you can get. Those will ruin your counters and your kitchen table and your floor and wherever else your kids get it. Once I decided the watercolor was dark enough to my liking, I just let it boil probably about 5 minutes, turn them all off. Then we scooped out the food bits, put them in the chicken bucket, fed those to the chicken, and then we took the water and I don't know if you could hear Ruger snoring in the background. Then we took the water, put it in wide mouth mason jars is ideal. I only had 3 of those, so I had to still use 3 regular mason jars. But I put the colors in there, red, blue, and yellow. And then I did a cup of each to create orange, a cup of each to create green, as well as purple. So we had all the colors there. And then brought the kids up, and one by one, we put the eggs into the dyed water, or the colored water to dye the eggs. The big difference between the all-natural method that I'm doing is that it takes a very long time to dye the eggs. They have to sit in there almost overnight. So we did it this morning. It could sit most of the day, most of tonight, hoping to get the brightest color we possibly can. Whereas with the artificial dyes, it only has to sit in there for what, like a minute or two? Like 5 minutes, 10 minutes makes a really bright egg. These are definitely gonna be more of a pastel color. They won't be as bright and bold. That's okay. I mean, it's Easter. Pastel is the color, right? I think I'm way more excited about this natural Easter egg dye than I should be, only because I learned about it 3 years ago after I had already dyed eggs with synthetic dye. Then I had to wait a whole year to do the natural dye, and we ended up moving over Easter weekend. And although I kept telling myself I was going to do it next weekend or the weekend after that, once we get settled, it just never happened. So here we are 3 years later. I finally get to do a natural dye Easter egg dye. I'm very excited. I feel very sustainable. I feel very good. If you want to see pictures of how it all turned out, I did post them to the Facebook group Starting Sustainability. So all the pictures of the process and the final result are up there. I want to take this moment to explain something. Have you noticed in the last two episodes there were ads? I've been podcasting for almost 5 years. It'll be 5 years in July. And I've tried to keep ads off, but to be honest, podcasting does have a cost. I have fees for the hosting platform, website, and what I will call office supplies, the mic, mixer, storage devices, etc. I footed the bill out of pocket for a while, and then I tried to find other avenues of revenue. I created the Start Sustainability store on Etsy. I made connections with other businesses to get paid for their ads. Remember the real toilet paper? That was terrible. That was really tough. I even got to the point of charging for interviews, and I didn't really like where the podcast was heading with the interviews because it slowly became big, gigantic advertisements. They did pay the bills, but it was a lot of work, and my schedule is getting more and more busy. I'm not podcasting to make money. I'm doing it as a rewarding hobby where I can express myself creatively and spread the word of sustainability. The hosting platform I use is called Buzzsprout, and they released a new feature where they have a list of ads that I can review and pick a few. I will get paid 1.4 cents per listen. After almost 5 years, I caved. All I have to do is listen to a 30-second ad and click approve, and that is it. Then I get paid per episode downloaded. Now, this isn't life-changing money, but it is enough to fund my hobby. I do feel bad for caving and letting ads in on the podcast, but at the same time, I feel like I've done a lot of other options and they were just too much work and not sustainable for me to keep up with. I hope you don't mind too much and will continue to enjoy the show, even if it contains ads. Now on to the main topic. But first, late news. This came out March 3rd, so I'm definitely a little bit late, but I still wanted to share in this update. After a unanimous final vote by the City Council in late February, Laguna Beach will prohibit all public use of balloons, as well as their sale at local businesses. All balloons of all materials, and whether it's helium or regular other air to inflate, I guess air out of your lungs, carbon dioxide, whatever, doesn't matter. All balloons are banned. Even though balloons are fun and celebratory, they do play a major role in fire hazards and ocean pollutants. And the hope is that Laguna Beach is the first one to do this, but they will be a trendsetter and start the trend among neighboring cities, and hopefully it spreads pretty wide, just like the straw ban did. A lot of people laughed at the straw ban at first, but then it caught on and spread and became the first stepping stone into getting plastic garbage under control. Balloons is now step number two. And hopefully there will be many, many more bans on plastic items as well in the future. Wouldn't that be fabulous? Okay, now we will get to the main topic. Yes, the title of this episode sounds disgusting, but it is true. There is a way to create drinkable water from human waste. In case you missed it, Bill Gates, one of the richest people in the world, posted a video of him drinking water that was human waste just minutes prior. I am thankful for Bill Gates because he has taken a charge and is really trying to bring sustainability to this planet. And he has invested in a handful of companies and projects and inventions to get it going. While I was researching and figuring out this human waste machine that creates water, I discovered and found that Bill Gates has also invested millions into a different company called Ruminate. They're out of Australia, where they focus on methane gas produced from livestock. That would be your cow toots and your cow burps and all that methane gas. We've talked about it previously that livestock is responsible for 1/3 of global methane emissions. And Bill Gates has invested millions into this company. And it's really cool because this company, it's a startup. They developed a seaweed-based feed for cows. And the studies have shown that this seaweed-based diet cuts their emissions by 80%. That is a huge deal, significantly reducing the world from cow toots. His most recent project, the one that this video has stemmed from, is geared towards creating safe drinking water, especially in parts of the world that don't have it. 13% of the world's population doesn't have access to safe drinking water. 13% doesn't really sound like much, but it's actually 947 million people. To help put that into perspective, The U.S. has a population of 331 million. That would be you, plus your family, your friends, your neighborhood, your city, your state, the entire country of the U.S., and that's still not enough. If the U.S. has 331 million, you now have to add in Canada, 38 million. Add in Mexico, 126 million. Also, the entire continent of South America. So now we have all of North America and all of South America. South America represents 422 million. All of those people combined is 918 million. That's still 29 million shy of the 947 million people who don't have safe drinking water. So this is a really big problem. It's really, really big. In 2003, that was 20 years ago. Do you feel old yet? Because I do. But in 2003, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation pledged funds to address water, sanitation, and hygiene issues worldwide. They have gone through a handful of projects, but the most recent one, the latest one out of the Gates Foundation, is a new contraption that converts human waste into drinking water. That contraption is called the Janicki Bioenergy Omniprocessor. It's pretty long. It is named after Peter Janicki, the CEO of Janicki Bioenergy, which is a small family-run company north of Seattle. Modern sewage plants squander huge amounts of electricity treating waste, and they would not work in developing countries. The Omniprocessor is a compact waste treatment plant that combines incineration, steam power, and filtration technologies to ensure no energy is wasted in the entire process. This is ideal for developing countries. The Omniprocessor can process sewage for a community of about 100,000 people. The city where I live, Lafayette, Indiana, is only 70,000 people. So this is a big deal. This is fantastic. That's why I'm talking about it. How does this whole thing work? Okay, you are going to have to visualize a little bit since all I have is audio. The perks of a podcast. But anyways, human waste or your sewer sludge is placed on a conveyor belt. This belt goes through a tunnel that heats up and brings it to a boil. The tunnel is called the dryer portion. As with any boiling liquid, steam comes off. The steam rises up into the air and is collected or gathered by being sucked up into a vertical tube. So think of a vent in your bathroom. You turn on the vent and suck the steam from your hot shower out, right? It's just like that. Once the water is boiled off, all that is left are dry solids. Those dry solids are fed into a very hot fire that creates high pressure steam, which is sent to a steam engine, very similar to a steam engine on a train. The steam engine runs a generator that creates electricity used to run the entire processor. In fact, it makes so much electricity that only a portion of it is used to run the processor, and the rest is fed into the power grid for the community. Let's go back to that vent that sucks up the steam. The water vapor, or steam, created in the boiling process is run through a cleaning system, a big, massive filtration system, and is turned into clean and pure drinking water. To explain the finances, the Omniprocessor generates 11,000 liters, which is 2,900 gallons, of high-grade drinking water a day. The unit generates enough electricity to run itself and then has 150 kilowatts per day to export to the grid. Once the fecal matter is burned, the result is ash, which can be commercially valuable as a soil amendment. The entrepreneur who installs this processor would get paid to take the human waste. Then the processor would also get paid for the outputs, the drinkable water, the electricity, and the ash. This should reach all corners of the earth because it's literally making money every day. As I mentioned already, there's a video of Bill Gates enthusiastically drinking water made from this machine. He said he understands the science behind the water creation and feels completely safe drinking water that was human waste only 5 minutes earlier. There is so much hope and excitement behind this machine because it is small, compact, It literally checks all the boxes. It's small, compact. We can get it into developing countries. It's going to service communities, like cities of people. And it generates money. So whoever invests into building these in their area is going to generate money. Like, this is a phenomenal thing. It literally pays for itself. It's easy to get to all corners of the world. This is really, really, if we can get traction behind it, get it going, this is literally life-changing for the planet. It's time for your challenge. To be honest, I don't really have a challenge thought out in advance. Kind of forgot that part. But let's really think about it. There are so many things that I can challenge you on. You are listening to this episode one day after Easter. So if you did not already share your Easter pictures to the Starting Sustainability Facebook group, please do so. I think that would be phenomenal, especially just share anything that you did sustainably. Did you grow a living Easter basket? Did you dye eggs naturally? Did you keep plastic eggs from last year and use them again? Did you stuff the eggs with items that were non-plastic, or did you stuff them with reused items or pre-loved items? Did you buy chocolate bunnies from a local chocolatier? What did you do that was sustainable this Easter? And if you didn't do anything, that's okay. You now have tons of ideas on different things that you can do for next year. So really think about that. What have you learned that you can implement for next year's Easter? I also want to throw in a quick challenge to do a quick search on the internet for that video of Bill Gates drinking this water that was once human waste. It's less than 2 minutes long, but it's pretty eye-opening to think about this product and the impact that it's going to have on our planet. The next episode is going to air on April 24th. I'm going to take a small little scenic route on our sustainable journey, and I'm going to talk about the importance of supporting women in Hollywood, in media and entertainment. Sustainer Nation, continue saving the world, and I will talk to you again on April 24th. Have a great one. Bye.